Hey everybody, welcome to Game of Thrones with Jay, Jack, and Nick. My name is Jay.
I'm Nick.
And you know nothing, Jon Snow. I know winter is coming.
And welcome to the show. How you guys doing?
What was he thinking?
What? He knows nothing. It's obvious. Jon Snow knows nothing.
He knows winter is coming. That's all he had to say.
Mm-hmm.
Take that, ginger.
Welcome to the show. I first want to apologize for last week's show. I had some technical difficulties with the audio. Debate even putting it up because it didn't. I mean, you couldn't hear me, so why listen to it? It is published. If you do want to listen, Nick and Jack had their fantastic highlights as usual, but you just won't be able to hear me so much throughout it. So listen at your own risk.
It might be the most downloaded podcast after you said that now.
So funny. So I did put a little bumper in front of it just to warn people, if you haven't listened to this episode, that one is a little wonky.
Wait, you put a bumper in, so how are people going to know? Do they hear the bumper?
Yeah, so the bumper comes first, where I say, hey, FYI.
They hear that, but they don't hear you.
Because that was a different recorded thing.
Oh, okay.
It was recorded outside of the podcast.
I know. I'm just causing problems.
As usual.
You know nothing, Jon Snow. You know nothing.
But here we have the fourth episode, the last of the leaked episodes. I didn't watch the leaked episodes. I didn't do it.
I didn't get spoiled either.
How about you, Nick? Did you get spoiled?
A little bit. Not from watching, though, but just from people who know me wanting me to express opinions, so naturally people tell me things. So
then do you tell them, shut your mouth, I don't know.
Yeah. So, but you know, being a book reader, I kind of already know what's happening anyway, so it's not.
Being a book reader.
Yeah.
You know nothing, Nick. You know nothing.
Nothing.
Being someone who can read books, I.
it's these weird things, these scribble on pages. I don't understand what it is.
So you hate trees.
I do.
You're saying.
I'm looking forward to the next six episodes, so all of us should be spoiler free.
Exactly. Yes. So that's the one tough part. Whenever you have leaked episodes, is people start getting spoiled and not responsible with hashtag spoiler alerts, and just it gets ugly.
Who's responsible? Snowden. We blaming him? Who leaked it?
We don't know, do we?
I'm suspecting a ginger.
aren't you like a half ginge, Nick? Aren't you like a daywalker?
I do have a little tint of red sometimes in my hair.
But you're like a strawberry blonde. Isn't that like a quarter ginge?
Yeah, I my mom calls it a dirty blonde. But, yeah.
Now that we've insulted every redhead listening to the show, I think we can.
Anyways, yes, we had a new episode, Sons of the Harpy, was the title of this one.
Your heartbeat, so you never said a word.
Rest in peace to the littlest partridge.
Yes.
But anywho, what do you say we get into this Game of Thrones recap?
Let's go.
All right, here we go. So, episode starts off with Jorah stealing a boat.
Yeah, a little skiff, which I thought was a little weird.
He didn't steal it. He left money.
But still, if you've watched Better Call Saul, it's still stealing. Did you get permission to borrow the boat?
Well, I think back then rules were different. It's a different world also, so I think there's different laws. He left money. I don't think it's stealing it.
I don't think that boat's very seaworthy, though. I mean, it's a little bitty boat.
Exactly, yeah. I have to question his judgment on this one.
Yeah.
Well, I think his judgment is out the window.
That's true.
He's hit rock bottom, as they say.
He's a man hell-bent on getting back to his love.
Yes.
Old man. And we'll go to another boat.
Wow.
with Jaime Lannister and Bronn.
Yeah, heading down to Dorne on a ship, and we see him staring out at Tarth.
That's Brienne's home, right?
Brienne's home, yeah. He's like a little, romantically thinking of Brienne.
Maybe.
I don't know about romantically, but you know, he's thinking about her anyway, of like where she is, I would assume. Because he's probably never seen the Sapphire Isle before, so it's like, oh, that's where Brienne's from.
Yeah.
But he tells Bronn briefly just what their plans are to get off at Sunspear, because the ship is heading on to the Reach, which is Old Town, where the Tyrells are from. So,
can we see those two in a buddy cop movie?
I think we could. That's kind of what this is. Actually, this whole episode was kind of that way. You had a lot of just two characters discussing things in this episode, and little buddy cop throughout every character.
I did laugh out loud in a scene later on in this episode when my wife is sleeping. Like at 4, because I work that night. I didn't get home till late, so I watched like 4 o'clock in the morning. She was not happy. I thought it was funny, though. But.
In this, Bronn kind of tries to call out that they're going after their daughter, not her niece.
Yeah, I think Jaime kind of forgets that he hung out with Tyrion so long that he knows all of Jaime's little secrets. So you see it in his expression, like, oh, your niece, you know. So
I thought it was interesting that Jaime said he was going to kill his brother.
Yeah.
I was, wow, never thought I'd hear those words.
Well, we haven't really heard, you know, his feeling on that yet.
Killed his dad.
Yeah. And
I'm sorry, murdered his dad. He didn't say kill, he said murdered.
Which he did.
I can't say it in the Jaime Lannister. He probably has the best voice on the show.
It's very British.
Best accent. So I can't say it, even though I'm 47% Irish English. I can't say it. So
I love Jorah's. Jorah's accent's got the best. Like scruffy, just, you know, Khaleesi.
Yeah, but he used to.
Khaleesi.
Now that he's hit rock bottom and he's just a drunk, he's almost like he was on Downton Abbey. Lady Mary.
We then go to King's Landing with the ever shrinking council.
Exactly. And Cersei.
You're in the pool.
Yeah. It was the pool.
Cersei addresses the small council saying that the Iron Bank is calling in its debts and that they can and then Lord Tyrell informs her that they can only pay for half of what they owe to the bank.
Which is not a good situation to be in, you know, from a, I don't know, country standpoint.
Right.
I mean, I guess back then, do things really go in foreclosure? Like, what are they going to do? What's the bank going to do?
Just print more money?
Seize their assets or something? No.
The whole kingdom. It's mine.
Yeah, I don't really know how the banking system works there so much, but...
When they repossess it, is it... Do they tear it up as they're leaving? Do they paint graffiti on it?
They're squatters, essentially.
Yeah, I'm just curious.
But, Cersei's making some moves here with Margaery's father.
Exactly. It's really interesting because Lord Tyrell offers to pay the other half himself, but, of course, Cersei does not want that family having any more power than they already do, so... She just dismisses that claim altogether and says, no, I'm going to send you to Braavos to negotiate better terms.
Mm-hmm.
But what's actually interesting to me is not this, it's what she says after this.
And what's that?
Is that I'm sending Sir Meryn Trant with you to Braavos to protect you. And Dead man walking, exactly.
Yeah. For sure. I would agree. It's just not... And her what's the father's name? Mace
Tyrell.
Yeah, Mace Tyrell. He's a simpleton. It seems like he's just not very smart.
Yeah, the show makes him out to be kind of a boob. But I don't remember reading him that way in the books. He's more of a he's not a pushover, because he's a master of ships. You know, he's got a huge fleet and they're of wealth. So he does a person. He's not, you know. A Tywin smart, but he's a man not to be messed with.
Does he look like the guy that opens the door of the, you know, and they knock on the door at the Wizard of Oz castle?
Oh my God!
The wizard?
Why did you say so? Come on in.
Yeah, I swear. Every time I see him, I go Wizard of Oz.
That's a horse of a different color. but
am I right?
That's true. It's true.
He does. It's definitely same facial hair.
Yeah.
More of Cersei's plan comes together. She has a conversation with the High Sparrow.
Yeah, they actually spent quite a long time in King's Landing this episode.
Yeah.
This scene is really dangerous for Cersei. She basically tells the High Sparrow that they need to rearm themselves again, and she's rearming the Faith Militant, which, to tell you a little bit about the Faith Militant, it was around before the Targaryens actually ruled Westeros. So,
really? Wow.
Yeah. And they were basically the authority on Westeros. But after the second king and third king came to power, they started having conflicts over the king marrying their sisters all the time.
Mm-hmm.
So, because the Targaryens wanted to keep their bloodline pure. So there was a 7-year war called the Faith Militant Uprising. And after that, eventually, the Faith Militant was no longer.
Mm-hmm.
So Cersei's playing with fire here, saying, like, hey, I'm going to let you guys basically have a Spanish Inquisition. You know, like, you're going to have the power, you can do as you please. But she's thinking short term. You know, you can see it, like, immediately in the next scene. She's thinking short term, like, oh, I'll just... She talks about, oh, we have a great sinner amongst our midst, and they need to be taken care of. But that could easily be applied to her, you know.
Yeah.
But, you know, they see Sor Loras Tyrell, who's Margaery's brother, get arrested for being a homosexual.
Mm-hmm.
And then going to the next scene, you see the Faith Militant just go crazy. You know, they're destroying wine casks. They're branding themselves on the forehead with the symbol of the seven. And then raiding Littlefinger's brothel and just executing all of its patrons. I mean, God, just trying to have a good time here. I mean,
yeah. And it's a good point though, because I the history behind it, I did not know the history behind it. But yeah, it's she's releasing powers. I don't think she understands how to control.
Right.
And Margaery is not happy about it. She sees right through it.
Yeah, poor Tommen. Yeah, he actually just comes in, demands, you know, like, why is my brother in a cell? Of course, Tommen just looks up, like, huh? I'm interested. What? You know?
What?
Time for bed? and she's like, you know who did this? And then, I mean, just naively, I love that. Just like, are you and Mother not getting along? What?
Ew, boy.
But he does promise to get her out of prison.
Yes. So he goes to Cersei. He's like, Mom, what are you doing?
Yeah. She just cleverly just says, did I arrest him? Well, I mean, both of these women are just torturing this poor child.
I know. He's just caught in the middle. So then he goes to see the High Sparrow. But King Tommen is kind of pushed back by... So are we saying this is the Faith Militant?
This is the Faith Militant, yeah, just kind of protecting the Sept from letting anyone in. And you can see it really, right from the get-go, he's only been king, a few weeks, and he's just weak right then. You know, the Kingsguard offered to kill all these Faith Militants so that Tommen can go speak with the he's still the High Sparrow at this point. And he doesn't. He just backs down. And you hear... Which I think is interesting too. You hear people behind him in the crowd, the kind of people calling him an abomination and born in sin. So clearly, the people now are really believing that he's a Lannister. He's not of true birth. So it's
he was kind of in a no-win situation.
Yeah,
at that point, I mean, he kills them all. If the guards kill them all, then you know he's not going anywhere with the high. You know, it just was a no-win situation for the poor kid.
Yeah.
You guys there?
Yeah, I'm here. It's tough to be in that situation, but
You can't show weakness.
You can't show weakness as the king.
Right.
Like Jon Snow knew he had to kill that guy. It's the same situation here. This isn't, you know, modern day politics. You gotta show your strength.
Right. But yeah, he backs down, and so you kind of believe at this point now that the Faith has more power than the king. At least I did.
Oh yeah.
And just reports back to Margaery of like, oh, I was unsuccessful.
So probably not going to have four times tonight. Probably sleep on the couch.
Yeah, on the couch.
I can't hurt you tonight.
Yeah.
But now with, you know, her brother imprisoned, her dad going to Braavos, she needs to seek out any member of her family that can help her, and which is her grandmother. So that's what she does.
Yeah. We then go to the wall with Stannis' wife being kind of a jerk to her daughter, yeah, as usual.
Yeah, no one likes Selyse Baratheon. She's crazy. Actually, yeah, I remember her being more crazy than the show depicts her, though. She's just mean in the show.
Mm-hmm.
But, yeah, she disapproves of Jon Snow being Lord Commander, calling him a bastard by some tavern slut, verbatim. Which Stannis replies, perhaps, but that wasn't Ned Stark's way. For people who haven't read the books, this was just a really interesting couple lines that you might want to analyze a little bit more into. I'm not going to tell anything in this section, though. But
okay, we'll have that in our book analysis section at the end of the show. But Melisandre shows up and kind of scares her away.
She does, yeah. She says, you know, the scars mean nothing to the Lord of Lord of Light. And then kind of saying that, you know, I mean, she is royal blood, and you know how Melisandre loves royal blood.
Mm-hmm.
Yes.
And it's basically, but then she turns the subject to the conquest of Winterfell that's coming and insists that she goes along with Lord Stannis this time.
Mm-hmm.
But also there's a lot of subtle looks in this episode, which if you really watch it, like she says, I need to serve my lord, but she's kind of goes to Jon after that. It seemed kind of weird, like she's thinking of Jon.
Yeah, absolutely. Because then we go to Jon, who's signing letters. Sam's giving letters, and he has to, you know, or he's faced with accepting support or help from the Boltons, which he does not like.
Of course not. Yeah. Yeah, but that's, you know, I think Sam says that, you know, we've lost more than half our men. We have to get more men to defend the wall.
Yep.
And we already know that, of course, Bolton doesn't have the men to even support himself, so you know he's not going to send any troops to the wall.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
Yep. Melisandre, Sandry. Is it Sandra? Melisandre?
You can say it how you want. I always say Melisandre. I've heard different ways.
But she comes in and spices or heats things up a little bit.
Yes, she shows him what they're fighting for, which is boobs.
That's what most men fight for.
Yeah, no visions, no magic, just boobs. Jon gets the second base. Good for him.
Yeah, well, you know, she's basically, again, you know, saying that, you know, Stannis needs him to take over Winterfell, et cetera, et cetera. She tries to use her booby magic. That doesn't work because he's still in love with Aegrets.
Yeah, I thought that she was, because there's a theory out there.
Mm-hmm.
It's not fact. It's a theory out there that Ned Stark is not, you know,
mm-hmm,
Jon Snow's father. I thought she was going to tell him. I thought that's what they were getting at.
Yeah, I mean, yeah, I didn't want to. Yeah, but exactly. That's kind of what.
It's just a theory. It's not a spoiler. Just a theory.
It's a theory. Yeah, but that's, you kind of get that with a few scenes in this episode. Little hints towards that she knows something, okay. And you know, and that's what she says that in this scene. I think, like, you have a power that you don't know that you need to embrace it. You know, and that's when he says, "Oh, about Ygritte, and I'm in love with her, and but she's dead." So
I thought this since the second when I did my second. When I rewatched it, I went, "Oh wait, and so I was hoping they were but we didn't find out. So it's just a theory; it's not fact. I haven't read the book, so I don't know. But anyway,
well, even in the books, it's very subtle. You have to really analyze things to figure out that theory. So that's why it's such a.
Anyway, from what my second rewatch, I believe that that Ned Stark is not Jon Snow's father. Anyway, that's all I'm going to say.
In that, she walks out and drops a, you know nothing, Jon Snow.
Yeah,
it was like a, what?
It was really neat. When I saw it the first time, I loved it. Because they're talking about Ygritte, and it's almost like she was channeling Ygritte, throwing her famous line in Jon's face. So.
You know nothing, Jon Snow.
So then, we have Shireen and Stannis.
Right. And it's a really cute, nice scene.
It's a really sweet scene.
Yeah.
Which I know, I mean, our show will cut off right now, but it was a sweet scene.
As of last week. But you don't see that from Stannis.
Never, and that's what makes it nice, because he's usually just cold and calculating. And so to see him actually hug someone, you're like, wow, he has a heart.
But even when he was telling the story, he was still cold.
Oh, yeah, of course.
But it was when she hugged him and he hugged her back, it's like, aww.
But yeah,
now let's go kill people.
Yeah, but it's pretty neat because you hear it's a scene totally made up for the show, but it was interesting to hear how she got grayscale because it's not explained in the book.
Oh really? Oh that's cool. Yeah.
So I liked it just from that point of view, and you see how basically everyone told him that she was going to die, but he did everything in his power to save his daughter. So it's very nice.
Yeah, and then we have Sansa, who's down in the crypts of Winterfell.
Yeah, this is another one of those important scenes that Jack was kind of talking about. That was another interesting scene.
Well, why was that? What'd you say?
Well, let's set it up a little bit. But yeah, Sansa's in the crypts of Winterfell, where all of the Starks are buried. Not all the Starks, all the rulers of Winterfell are buried. And Littlefinger sees her standing in front of Lyanna Stark, who is Ned's sister. Who died and started in her? She died somewhere mm-hmm. during the middle of Robert's Rebellion. But she expressed. I mean, Sansa expresses that Ned never talked about her sister. I mean, Lyanna. But she would see him standing in front of the statue a lot. To which Littlefinger then goes into a whole backstory, which is in the book a little bit, about the tourney at Harrenhal, which happened just prior to the Robert's Rebellion. Because Rhaegar won the tournament, and when he won, instead of giving this bouquet of flowers to his wife, which most husbands would do, he passes his wife over to give this wreath of winter roses, blue roses, to Lyanna Stark. And what's interesting about it is that Sansa objects a little bit, saying, well, then he kidnapped and raped her. And what's interesting about the scene is Littlefinger's face when she says that. He kind of gives her like a little smart-aleck smirk of like, well, that's what you think, you know? So it's...
I gave the same smirk.
Yeah.
You know nothing, Jack.
Well, that goes without saying. I'm sure... It's wrong, but I just...
And he also kind of gives the whole plan of what she should do is that, you know, I don't... Stannis will probably come down, knock out the Boltons, and you'll become the Wardeness of the Nord. Kind of gives her the whole layout of the plan that he has.
Right, because he informs her that he has to go to King's Landing because Cersei has summoned him there. And he's basically giving her options so she doesn't have to think too critically, I guess. But saying, yeah, Stannis is on his way. If Stannis wins, he'll make you Warden of the North because you're a surviving Stark, and the North will rally behind you to support him. But if Stannis loses, marry Ramsay, then you'll still have power.
Yeah. So.
You see these two hooking up later on?
Well, they get a little kiss goodbye.
Yeah, I know, but...
A little awkward kiss.
It seems like... Before, it just seemed like, no, this could never happen, but now I'm like going... I see some affection towards each other.
Yeah.
I think she cares for him.
That's where I see it going in the book. As for the show, I don't know.
Okay.
All right. So then we go to Jaime and Bronn, and they make their way to Dorne.
Yeah, they come across, they come to shore, and they eat a big snake for breakfast.
Yum. Almost gets Jaime, though. That's kind of creepy.
And I don't like some of this. I mean, I like it, but I never like foreshadowing. It just seemed really strange because I don't like it when characters talk about death. And that's when you have two characters saying, how would you like to die? It's kind of like, uh-oh, alarms are going off in the head. So, but we'll see. But Bronn, yeah, wants to die sleeping in his own keep, watching his sons fight over his fortune.
Mm-hmm.
Whereas in Jaime says he wants to die in the arms of the woman he loves, which, of course, Bronn, she kind of looks at him like, ooh, your sister.
Yeah.
That's gross.
Gross, man. Yeah.
And then also, Jaime is kind of playing the whole one-hand thing a little a little heavy-handed with the whole one-hand thing.
Yeah, he's being a little smarter. Like, you kind of want to smack him a little bit, you know?
Are you being sarcastic when you say heavy-handed?
Yes. Pun intended. But yeah, so they run into four Dornish, was it patrolmen or whatever?
Yeah, worst men patrolmen, yeah. And they question them to why they're in Dorne, to which Bronn cleverly kind of just says, oh, we were shipwrecked and all this, but then a fight ensues, of course, to which Bronn quickly kills three, and Jaime, this is his first fight, really, with his new hand, so we see what he can do, which isn't much, and...
I can't remember the exact line that made me laugh. It's when he knocks the guy off the he knocks the horse out.
Oh,
out.
Yeah.
And he says, there, I
should be slow enough for you or something like that.
Should be slow enough for you. I literally laughed out loud, and my wife was, what? I go, oh, nothing. I just thought it was funny because it just was those two together, they work well together. I like those scenes.
I did, yeah. Because it is like a good buddy cop thing.
Right.
It's like a Jorge and Charlie or something.
Yeah.
But,
And then we have Ilaria coming up, and we get introduced to Oberyn's daughters. Is that who these people are?
Yeah, I'm not sure if these are the only three we're going to see. Yeah, these are the Sand Snakes, but I think there's seven of them, or six of them in the books, but we're only seeing three so far. But yeah, they're basically, she's informing them that that the Prince Doran is not going to go to war with the Lannisters to revenge Oberyn's death. So they need to make a choice of either peace with Doran or go to war with her. And they unveil the captain that brought Bronn and Jaime to Doran.
Which was funny because, you know, Bronn said, is it Bronn? Or
yeah,
Jaime
Bronn.
Said, yeah, it probably is going to sell you out anyway.
Yeah,
but I'm offering him a big pot of gold, big bag of gold.
Well, then, you know, he went about it the way the Lannisters do. You know, just oh, give him some gold, they'll be fine.
Yep.
Yeah. Not so much.
Seemed that was not a good way to be tortured, though. I thought.
No.
Bury the sand with scorpions on your face.
No.
It's kind of like Jeremiah Johnson. You know, that's what I felt. But if you've seen that movie, I know.
Spoiler alert.
Yeah.
Great.
But
it's a 1972 film.
It's a joke. So we have the daughters that we have there. Do we get names? I think it's Nymeria, Obara, and Tyene or Tyang.
Yeah, that's good enough.
Close enough.
For us, that's great.
Obara throws a spear into the captain's head, swearing her allegiance to fighting.
Very chilling. Yeah, but they choose to go to war. And also they know now that Jaime and Bronn are in Dorne, so
yeah,
that's going to lead to a future conflict, I'm sure.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
But again, do you think we'll be interested in more, or do you think we'll only have the three in the TV show, because it's easier to keep up with them?
Yeah, I think it'll just be the three, because there's so many characters and so many strange names that people will be like, to a lot of people, it's hard just understanding who Daenerys is. Like, oh, yeah, the dragon lady. So, I think it'll be, they'll keep it probably at three.
I will say the casting for his daughters are pretty good because it's a good mix of their father and mother.
Right. Well,
Or I guess is it not their mother? This is just all of his bastard children.
Right, yeah, they're all from, I think a couple of them are from the same woman, but they're all from different women from Dorne, I think.
Mm-hmm.
And there's another character that they've so far left out that's Doran's daughter, which I'm hoping that they'll cast her too at some point, because she's an interesting kind of counter to them. So, but you never know about HBO.
Yeah. We then go with Tyrion, who's doing his best. I'm so annoying, please let me speak.
Yeah. Just squirming in the boat.
Jorah kind of shows his desperate plan, to which, you know, Tyrion says, well, that's where I was going anyway, thanks.
Yeah, because you're not quite sure at the end of, I mean, I always assumed he was taking her to Dany anyway.
So
at the end, you're not sure if he's taking her to Cersei or to Dany, because he's been banished, and I'm pretty sure she threatened if he came back, she'd kill him, so... But he does. He just laughs like, "Oh God, I was already heading there. So untie me now." Of course, Jorah doesn't fall for it.
No,
but I do love like just how clever Tyrion is. You know, he just can look at just a few things and go, "Oh, you're this person."
So, yeah, it's true. That's true. It's a good point. Even in his like a hungover state, he could still do that.
Yeah. You were the spy.
You were this person. Yeah, I mean, he was Hand, so he knew about it, obviously. But
right.
Just anything that shows Tyrion's wit, I usually love. So,
concur.
He basically tells Jorah a few things he doesn't want to hear. Yeah, and then Jorah just punches him out to shut him up.
We then go to Meereen, and Ser Barristan tells Dany a story about. Go ahead.
This is another kind of interesting scene as well that people need to pay attention to if you're watching it, not reading the books.
This is the second time they've referenced this Rhaegar guy, right?
Yeah, Rhaegar. Rhaegar is Danny's older brother, who was the guy who supposedly kidnapped Lyanna Stark.
Okay.
And you're hearing two conflicting stories here. You know, you hear Sansa talking about him with disdain for kidnapping her aunt and then raping her. And then you hear Ser Barristan talk about this loving, kind man who loved to play music and give money to the poor.
Hmm.
Does that really sound like someone who would rape someone?
No.
Nope.
So it's an interesting contradiction here.
Mm-hmm. Well, why is it a contradiction? Like, who told the lie? Or who perpetuated a lie?
Yeah, exactly. That's what's interesting about the books, is that everything is told from a character's point of view. So you always believe that character when they're telling the story, and it's up to you to decide who do you believe.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, Ser Barristan is telling a story about the person he guarded for all these years and how he knew him. Mm-hmm. Whereas Sansa is hearing hearsay from Robert Baratheon or people who just what they assumed happened during the war.
Yeah.
Assumed happen or want people to believe happen.
Right.
Yeah. Good point. So then we kind of have a lot of action starts to build up.
Yeah, well, the setup a little bit. Like, yeah. Danny's summoned away to hear another case to open up the fighting pits.
Yeah.
And basically he's saying without this, former slaves and masters have nothing in common. And then it leads to, a lot of action that happens.
So in the streets, Sons of Harpy, basically some of they were planning this, start attacking the Unsullied.
Yes.
Right. Unsullied get led into a trap where it's just the slaughter underneath in the tunnels of Meereen. And all the Unsullied are killed except Grey Worm.
Mm-hmm.
And who's fighting, like, the bad man he is.
Yep. And then Ser Barristan hears it, then also just like show. I mean, he's old, but he's still got some moves.
He still got it. Yeah, comes in
and moves like Jagger.
Comes in, slaughters what like 6-7 people before he gets to Grey Worm.
If not more than that, then Grey Worm and him finish the rest of Sons of the Harpy. He gets killed himself.
Yeah, sadly they're both very. They're stabbed, both of them, multiple times, and you assume that Ser Barristan is dead right there, and that Grey Worm might succumb to his wounds, but you're not sure.
He's in bad shape.
Yeah,
he's not in good shape, and that closes out the episode, so things are just still getting, seems to be worse and worse in Meereen.
Yeah.
This, people, you know, they complain for the slow episodes, this one definitely had some action in it.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
And then interesting, just from a non-book reader perspective, that they're alluding to Rhaegar quite a bit in this episode.
Yeah, that's put in there. I mean, I know a lot of book readers sent me a few messages, friends, you know, saying like, "What did you think of that?" You know, and I was like, "Well, it's I think it was done very nicely for non-book readers to see a few hints of things that might happen later."
Yeah.
So, I mean, this is just a theory to everybody out there listening, and we're not going to discuss the theory, but it's just something you might want to read or think about.
Yeah. Well, that is the episode.
Wait, go ahead. I have a question.
Sure.
Why is Danny staying in that city? Why did they just keep moving on?
It's a good question. It's discussed a little bit in the books, and I don't think they did it on the show, but she conquered two cities prior to Meereen,
right,
and they both got retaken by the former slaves, so she had to send the armies back. And also it takes time for dragons to grow, so she doesn't really have a true army to invade yet.
So just keep moving.
She's there to try to learn how to rule. So.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. Well, absolutely.
She's getting an F grade so far.
Yeah.
An F minus.
And I'm not grading on a curve. That's a straight F.
Well, let's move on to our book analysis for this episode.
What about listener feedback?
There is none for this week. But again, we didn't post the most recent show until today, I think. So if you want to give us a call for next week's episode, you can at 206-309-0311. And again, that's 206-309-0311.
Call any time.
All right, guys, let's go into our book analysis. Nick, what do you have for us as far as book analysis goes?
Yeah, I mean, we can get into some theories here, too, because I know Jack likes to discuss.
Yeah.
But there's not a whole lot of differences. Jorah, in the beginning scene, doesn't steal a boat. He actually pays a passage to a larger ship because Meereen is actually a long way from Volantis.
Mm-hmm.
So it made no sense to me to see that little, like, that's why I said that at the beginning of the podcast. Like, it makes no sense to have that little skiff. It would capsize or sink before, by the time he got there. So just a little thing, but not a big deal.
Yeah.
Cersei, in this scene, she doesn't send Lord Tyrell to Braavos in the books. She actually sends him to recapture Storm's End, which is the Baratheon seat. Because the War of the Five Kings isn't over yet in the books. They're not even talking about it now in the show, but there's still like little pockets of resistance,
mm-hmm,
and the Baratheon seat is one of them.
Mm-hmm.
So she sends him there because he has his army in King's Landing. So it's a way for her to send, you know, Margaery's father away with his army, so she has more power to say, oh, I can do this, instead of him kind of saying, well, if you do this, I have my army to take the city.
Yeah.
And it's set up a little better, I think, in the book. And also, as well, like, Sir Maron Trant doesn't go with him, because why would you send the Kingsguard to defend a guy on the small council? It makes no sense.
Yeah, good point.
So that's something different. Also, Loras Tyrell is never arrested in the novels for being homosexual.
What is he arrested for?
He's never... Well, he is, but not... He's taken in for questioning later, but... Well, the way that Cersei gets rid of him in the books is Dragonstone, which is that little island that Stannis has the big table and all that he ruled over.
Uh-huh.
She sends Loras to that island to retake it with a small group of soldiers, and he is seriously wounded because basically she sent him on a suicide mission.
Gotcha. Okay.
And he does make it, he comes back, but now, you know, obviously her father's gone to war, Loras is seriously wounded, so it's the same outcome. Margaery is without any allies in King's Landing. So it's same maneuvering, but just different
ways
to do it.
Gotcha.
And then the last one is just that Grey Worm and Ser Barristan are never ambushed, and they're still alive in the books. And I think this is just a clever way for the producers to get rid of two characters again, because I think by the end of this season or maybe early next season, you'll see most likely Tyrion and Jorah take those two spots as advisor and head guard once again.
Mm-hmm.
Well, so I do like how some people are upset. They go, they couldn't kill off Grey Worm because he's too popular. I go, have you watched this show? I mean, I don't know if he's going to die or not, but it's just like, I wouldn't be shocked because they kill everybody.
Well, yeah, I mean, he doesn't. It's not like he has a lot of lines, you know, or.
They're saying everybody likes him. Nobody likes him. I mean, no one dislikes him. I go, yeah, but they do that all the time.
Oh yeah, I mean, that's like I said to you guys in the first podcast we did. You know, whenever a character's motivation is done, they're dead.
Right.
it just makes no sense to keep writing a character if they have nothing to do.
Mm-hmm.
So,
that's a good point.
Yeah, and then, you know, the last little bit I have here is just Rhaegar and Lyanna talk, which we've kind of already discussed a lot of things like that.
But, let's get into a little bit deeper, just because, you know, if people don't want to hear it, they can just stop listening now. I guess let's explore that theory a little bit more, because I'm not as well-versed in it.
Okay. How much do you want me to get into it?
get in as much as you want to get into it.
So this could be spoilerish?
Well, it's a theory still. So
it's a theory. It's just a theory.
Even in the books, it's a theory, correct?
It's a theory, yeah. And it's the most popular theory in the world of Ice and Fire. And as a book reader, it's something I kind of feel sorry for show watchers, because when you're reading this and you're rereading it, when it finally hits you in your head, it's like, oh! But,
well, that was with me when I was watching the second time, and I went, wait, what? I sent you a message on Facebook right away. Could this possibly be? And you went, you want to know? I go, yes, I want to know.
Well, obviously there's things in season one that they can't show on TV, because it would just, people would figure it out pretty quick. But in book one, all of this stuff is in Ned's chapters. And you see it, like, especially when Jaime stabs him in the leg and he's in the bed, and he's being given the milk of the poppy, he's having a lot of dreams being under this drug. And they're constantly of a bed covered in blood and his sister screaming, "Promise me." And blue roses all over the room, which the blue roses are what Rhaegar gave her at the tournament.
Mm-hmm.
And so you don't know what the blood is from, but you just assume, like a lot of people, that it's from childbirth. Or, what else could it be? And then she dies there in the Tower of Joy, which was in Dorne. So it leads to a theory of like that. But most of the stuff you hear about Rhaegar in book one, because all you see in book one is just that flashback. But most things you hear about Rhaegar are from Robert Baratheon's point of view. And Robert hated it, because naturally he stole the woman he was supposed to marry, he went to war for her, and then he killed him. So naturally you're going to hear that point of view. It's just like, I hated this man. So you've literally read for, you know, 4 or 5 books of just a guy that you naturally assume is a bad guy. But then you hear something like from Ser Barristan saying, no, he played music and hated fighting. He was just a guy who loved life. So that's what's interesting about it. So you lead to contradictories about, like, oh, what could have happened then?
Mm-hmm.
Did he really kidnap her, or did they get married, or what? So it's just something to think about.
For sure.
Any other questions? I mean, there's other stuff I could probably say.
Well, the theory is that it's... That's Jon Snow's.
Yeah, the theory is that Rhaegar and Lyanna got. Well, I don't know if they got married or not, but they went down and got pregnant and had a child, which was Jon Snow. And that after the war was over, Ned took Jon Snow, which was the promise, to raise the child, and took it up to be raised as the bastard. So and you see it in this episode too, with Stannis saying that with, you know, his wife saying, oh, he, you know, Jon Snow's nothing but a bastard, and then Stannis saying, well, that wasn't Ned Stark's way, because he was a man of honor.
Exactly. Which, again, that never made sense that he you know, fathered a bastard. That just never made sense.
Well, not only that, but he brought him back.
Right.
For his wife to raise. I mean,
well, again, that kind of makes sense that he's an honorable person, so he'd want to, you know, take care of the baby. But again, it doesn't make sense why he would, for him anyway, that he would cheat on Catelyn Stark.
Yeah. But, you know,
it hit me in this, like I said, the second time around and watching, going, wait a minute.
But, you know, a lot of people want it. To me, it's not George R. R. Martin. It's too PG-13 for me, but a lot of people want that to happen, where it's like Danny comes, and then John realizes he's also, and they're siblings, and they get married, or whatever, and they rule. It's just too happy ending for me. But.
Well, the first season, I know Jay and I, we podcast about it. Mm-hmm. It was the first season, whatever it was, it would be a Danny scene, Jon Snow. Danny, it always seemed like they would go one behind the other. I don't know, maybe I'm just thinking of things, but I always said, I remember saying on a podcast, I go, there's something about those two characters.
Right.
I can't figure it out.
Well, and yeah. And it makes sense because the series is called A Song of Ice and Fire. And so you have Stark, who is of winter, ice, and then you have Rhaegar Targaryen, who's of fire, and so their child is a song of ice and fire.
Right.
So there also is another really crazy theory out there that I won't get into, that, you know, that Dany is really the child of Lyanna and Rhaegar, and Jon is of someone else's, but it's really far out there. So
awesome. Well, very cool. And again, it's a pretty popular theory. And it's one where I've even heard where, like, George R. Martin might just change it because it's, people figured it out already too soon.
I mean, he's got the time, and that's what I've always said, too. It's like, don't give the readers what they want. And so to me, it would be clever if all of a sudden he's like, oh, no, that's not, it's just what you thought all along, but nope, it's this. So.
Or they were just dead the entire time.
Oh, man. All right. Well, that's... closes out today's episode of Game of Thrones with Jay, Jack, and Nick. Again, you give us a call at 206-309-0311.
Hi.
So again, it's 206-309-0311. Call and have your questions, comments, and or theories.
Hopefully you can hear this one.
Yes, absolutely. And you can also send us an email to jayandjack@gmail.com. Join our Facebook group at facebook.com/group/jayandjackgroup. And that'll do it for this week's show. Anything else you guys want to say before we get out of here?
Yep, that's it. Mm-hmm.
All right, guys. Well,
so we have 6 episodes left after this?
6 episodes, yeah.
Six.
Oh, wow. Yeah. It's going fast. Going fast.
Yes, it does. Yes, it does. All right, guys. We'll see you next time. Hasta luego and goodbye.
Bye.